The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Arkansas gets the victory in the first game against South Carolina. Very exciting game, I felt. You know, you had some big-time plays in Arkansas. I mean, Blaine Knight pitched well. For the most part,
Shaddy with a shot that went off. Somehow it squeezed between the top of the wall and the three at 375 somehow. But it cleared the bases.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, and Phil Elson, of course, had the best call of it too.
At the belt, he kicks and deals. Shaddy swings a high drive deep left center field. Back goes to the wall. Shaddy off the top of the fence, scoring Martin, scoring Bonfield. Fletcher rounding third, heading home. A three-run double for Carson Shaddy. It is 7-3.
About as close as you could get to having a home run without having it. I mean, you couldn't get it any closer than that. In fact, if you look at the video, Shaddy thought it was gone so much that as soon as he hit it, he started not fist pumping as he was heading to first base because he thought it was gone. But a little short, but either way, the damage was done. Arkansas gets three runs off of that, ends up taking the lead and never looked back the rest of the way. So heading into Sunday's game, 2 p.m. game, I felt like it was really setting up because I didn't feel like it was as hot. You know, the crowd was really showing out. They had showed up so early on Sunday because they knew that this was going to be an opportunity for Arkansas to move on to Omaha. And, so, you know, Sunday's game wasn't exactly one that was an entertaining game to watch if you're a baseball fan.
It was a frustrating game to watch is what it was. You know, it was just because, and really both of these games, I don't know if you had the same feeling, but as I'm sitting there watching the game, I've got this gut feeling early in game one that, because I didn't think Knight had his best stuff.
It wasn't his best, no.
It was good enough to win, obviously, in game one, but that was not Blaine Knight's best stuff, and he had trouble finding the zone a little bit, trouble, but finally he got on track, and then the bats got on track, and it didn't matter at that point. Then yesterday they come out, and Murphy, from the get-go, and that's where a lot of this frustration came, because the umpire behind the plate was not giving the outside edge. Now, to his credit, he wasn't giving anybody the outside edge.
He was consistent.
But there were several calls, particularly in a latter inning where a two-out rally occurred in the seventh inning, where you're like, Cook's glove never moved. What is going on here? And it was, I think, frustrating for everybody watching. It was frustrating for, obviously, the fans, because they were all over them. And it was frustrating for Dave Van Horn, who later went to the mound to make a pitching change and was chewing some butt on his way there and back. But it limited the flow of the game, and it was a tough game to watch because those borderline pitches weren't being called strikes.
In fact, Dave Van Horn was asked about the umpire behind home plate.
Dave, it didn't look like you. You obviously were giving it to the home plate umpire pretty good when you came out and made one of the pitching changes. I mean, just how'd you feel about the home plate umpire today?
So you think I can talk about the home plate umpire or what?
You're Dave Van Horn. You can do whatever you want.
I can't talk about the home plate umpire. Okay. I can't talk about him.
So, I mean, just he of course, said, I think everyone knew he was going to say that. But you could tell there was, of course, a video being put around that went viral on Twitter of exactly what Dave Van Horn was saying to the umpire. It was frustrating for him. And I don't know. It's just like I get that there's, you know, different leagues, different
ways. He wasn't reading the Ten Commandments.
No, he sure wasn't. And you know, I get that there's, you know, different umpires look at different things. But it was just like, you know, in college baseball, see a lot of those pitches that are so inside. And you're like, those should be strikes. Those are strikes every single time. Different there.
I think that's the part is 9 out of 10 games, those are strikes, because why? This is amateur baseball.
This is college baseball.
This is not professional baseball. And, you know, if you're painting the black there, if you're coming right down the edge of the plate, those are strikes in college baseball. But they weren't yesterday. And that was the frustrating part. Now, I don't think that Arkansas wasn't getting the calls and South Carolina was. It was just a frustrating game where the home plate umpire involved himself to a point that it was just hard for everybody to watch, both sides.
Well, especially if you are Arkansas.
If you're the team trailing on the scoreboard, it becomes even more difficult.
Yeah, because you felt like your pitchers were putting the – I mean, they were great pitches. You know, those are great pitches, putting it right there in that border zone. But, again –
like I said, 9 out of 10 games –
it's a strike.
Strike.
And that's what made it
maybe,
so frustrating,
maybe
too.
49 out of 50 games, those are strikes.
It gets you out of your flow. I mean, if you're a pitcher, it really takes a toll when you're throwing at like what you feel like is just a fantastic pitch right there where it needs to be, right there where you've gotten that call every single time, and you're not getting it.
What does it do to you mentally? It frustrates you.
You get annoyed.
It's kind of like lipping out for birdie four holes in a row or something. Man, I've hit great drives. I've hit great approach shots. And I've lipped out 4 8-footers in a row. Well, I mean, you know, mentally it'll wear on you. Not that I've ever had 4 birdie putts in a row in my life, but you know what I'm saying.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah.
No. I know. I totally agree with you. At some point,
you're like, what more? I mean, you got to be out there. If you're Murphy, you say, what more can I do?
Mm-hmm. What else can I throw? What else can I do? I mean, yeah, it was just frustrating for the fans, too, but I just can't imagine what it was for the pitchers. So, it wasn't a good game. It was not an entertaining game. It was a very...
It was a long game because of
that. Very long game. The thing is we talk about a few plays here and there in baseball. I mean, it wasn't just the umpire in those calls. I think there was, obviously the grand slam that South Carolina had there, and then the home run right afterwards.
That hurt you.
I mean, there was a few plays where it's just like, hey, of course, you can play the what-if game, but take away those few plays, everything changes.
I mean, the other frustrating part, and I know two of the errors were, on one play on the same guy, but South Carolina gives you 4 errors. 4. You don't
supposed to win those.
Supposed to win those games. Yeah, exactly. And you say, well, Arkansas's got to hit the ball better. They still had 10 hits, same amount as South Carolina, and the help of 4 errors, and just couldn't put it together. And you mentioned the home run that followed the grand slam. You take, let's just play the what if game because we can. You take that one off. If you get any of those called third strikes, because remember that rally where they got one run, South Carolina got one run, I guess is in the sixth. Didn't all that start with 2 outs, nobody on?
Yep.
And they end up loading the bases on walks. If you get any of those called third strikes, that inning's over. Take another run so that now 8 becomes 6. And then if Evan Lee doesn't throw it in the dirt and you don't have someone come home, now you're back to – you're right there in the ballgame. Plus the pressure of South Carolina having to pitch their way around a one-run or a two-run game, knowing there's – Arkansas still has 9 or 12 outs or whatever the situation – Arkansas couldn't put – they put South Carolina in a comfortable position. But here's what I saw at the end. South Carolina was more patient at the plate. Arkansas was not. Arkansas was a little more aggressive when they came to the dish. And you look at it, South Carolina had 10 walks. Arkansas ended up with 2 walks. And, again, that's back to the strike zone. Was it frustrating? Do I agree with it? No. But did South Carolina do a better job in their approach at the plate? Someone with maybe a little more baseball IQ needs to answer that for us. But it sure appeared to me that South Carolina was more patient in their approach at the plate yesterday, and they earned more walks as a result. I don't think that Arkansas was all over the zone and wild pitches, and they weren't getting free passes because Arkansas couldn't locate. It was a tough day to hit the strike zone was about the size of a coffee cup, and they couldn't hit it. But it was that way both ways. South Carolina maybe adjusted better and didn't swing the bat as quickly.
That's a good point. If you're Arkansas too. When you talk about the
and they earn
factor,
those bases as a result.
Yeah, and it builds on the frustration, carries over to the hitting, and also when you're down and you're behind 8, that was it, 8-3 at one point, I believe. You start being more aggressive at the plate. It's a snowball effect. It just keeps building and it keeps having these different effects. Because even on the hitting side of it, you still had Shaddy and Kerstad both hit home runs. You just still had some plays of offensive firepower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was just too little too late. And, you're unable to take advantage of it.
You may know. I don't know. When Arkansas scores 5 runs, I don't have the superlatives here in the note package, but Arkansas wins a lot of games when they score 5 runs.
Because usually they don't give up 8.
I bet you when you score 5 and you receive 4 errors from the other team, Arkansas hadn't lost very many games that way.
Yeah. In fact, if you would have said that before the weekend started, said, hey, Arkansas in game 2 is going to score 5 runs, South Carolina's going to commit 4 errors, probably say, feel good
each
about Arkansas.
Each team's going to have 10 hits.
Yeah.
You'd probably feel pretty good about it.
Very good about it. But that wasn't the case. So big game tonight, 6 o'clock.
Obviously.
Man.
The season's on the line.
Yep. It all comes down to tonight. Isaiah Campbell looks like he's going to get the start. I'm curious to see how he's going to be impacted from last weekend, which we'll probably talk more about as the show goes on. He was pulled very early. Has his confidence been shaken Or is he motivated to make a big comeback and really get things going tonight against South Carolina? It's a big one. 6 o'clock. You can hear the 5:30, of course, will be the broadcast time with Phil Elson. So that'll be an exciting time, and I know where everybody will be watching this weekend as well.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
You're throwing out Isaiah Campbell, which, again, he has shown the capability of being a great pitcher and winning. But there's also that little, like, oh, man, you know, it happens what happened against Dallas Baptist last weekend where bases loaded, no outs in the very beginning, and South Carolina takes advantage of that in a better way than what Dallas Baptist did. That puts you behind the eight ball early. I mean, it's going to be a high risk, and I'm just curious to see how Dave Van Horn's going to handle dealing with Isaiah Campbell this week.
He gave us a pretty direct quote last night after the game, and you can see all of it on hitthatline.com, that, listen, we're going to put Campbell out there. We feel good about him. I know he said, you know, prior to last night that, you know, Campbell pitched basically a simulated game against some guys that hadn't got a lot of bats in practice. You know, so he's gotten some work. It's not like his arm has not gotten its normal work, because they wanted to give him some pitches, even though he faced three batters against Dallas Baptist. They feel good about this guy, and he was pretty clear last night about that. But he went on to say, listen, if, you know, things aren't going well early, you know, we got a list of guys, and we're going to go to the pen and not hesitate. I thought it was interesting in game one and game two, when both starting pitchers got in trouble over those two games, yesterday with Campbell and in game one with South Carolina with Hill. There was nobody down there.
Nope.
I mean, in college baseball, they don't always staff the bullpen throughout the course of the game. The relievers don't just hang in the bullpen. And, you know, you look out there, and, you know, you're having trouble with your pitcher locating, and you're having trouble kind of getting out of some jams, and you're like, they're with this guy because there's nobody down there. And you saw that with South Carolina in game one. You saw it a little bit yesterday in game two. And then Arkansas trotted some guys down there, brought them back. Sent a crew down there again. So, you know, you kind of know, hey, I'm out here a little while. I got to work my way out of this jam.
Yep.
They're not loose. They're not ready.
No. And, in fact, Dave Van Horn even said yesterday, too, that when he was asked about who's available to pitch, I mean, of course, he took the coach's answer. Was like, well, you know, everybody's available.
Sure.
You know, whoever we need to put out there. But yeah, he specifically mentioned Jake Rindle, even though he came in yesterday, that the reason they pulled him so early is because they said we may need him to go tomorrow, too.
We were discussing that, you know, just amongst the group of guys I was with watching the game. How many arms do you want to burn through yesterday in game two when you were trailing after that grand slam, that five-run inning, that South Carolina? How many arms do you really want to burn through, knowing that the likelihood of a game three is pretty high right now? Not that Arkansas couldn't come back, but are you going to go all in to win game two and try to end it tonight? Obviously you got to save some guys. You got Loesky that could come back, you would assume.
Yep.
The best case scenario, obviously, is you need Campbell to go out there tonight and give you six, maybe get you into the seventh inning, but give you six complete innings, and you're probably going to win the baseball game. Good chance of it.
That may be kind of like a good betting. If Campbell makes it six innings, does that mean Arkansas wins? I mean, because you got to feel like...
I'd put my money... If I had to put a hundo on it, yeah.
Yeah, I would too. I absolutely would, too. And, you know, because you could say that comes down to pitching matchups in every game, but I feel like this one is especially apparent because it's going to be like, all right, now who has the most depth? Because now you've had two games between these two teams. They've thrown out their best arms and the starters. Now it comes down to who's going to have the depth, who's going to have the deepest part of their pitching staff between Arkansas and South Carolina. Because if you're Arkansas, of course, I don't think anyone wants it to be a high-scoring game, but you don't want to get in kind of a shootout with South Carolina. If you can avoid it, you'd like to go out there and get Campbell or get Rindle or get Loesky or whoever is going to be thrown out there and to shut them down a little bit. But, you know, I don't know. I really don't know.
And for everyone out there that thinks the sky is falling because you lost a game, look around. Just look around college baseball.
That's right.
I mean, all three of the series that are SEC teams.
Game threes.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.